Blog Talk Radio.
The 6-week driver training course.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning to NavWick and all you NavWick Talks listeners. This is Rachel Moore coming in live from Miami, Florida, and we have an amazing show for you this morning. First, I'd like to just take a moment to invite you by our NavWick website, www.navwick.org. There, you will learn more about our growing national organization. You'll have an opportunity to join the email list so you can get updates on what's going on in the industry and also what's going on with our show. And also, you will have an opportunity to join the organization. So I invite any of you first-time listeners to go by and take a look at our website. That's www.navwick.org. Well, this morning you're listening to NavWick Talks, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black Women in Construction, and we welcome you to our show this morning. Take a moment to jump on another line or send a text and invite a friend or a business partner in the industry to listen in this morning. And know that we are here every Wednesday morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, interviewing another leader and business person in the industry. We look forward to connecting you and having you do business with each other and support each other in the industry. Again, you're listening to NavWick Talks, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black Women in Construction and in the related fields. Well, this morning, we're truly blessed to have an amazing guest on who is going to be able to give some awesome information to each and every one of you. And just know if for any reason you have to leave the line, be sure that you can go by blogtalkradio.com/NavWick, where you'll be able to listen to this show there on archive, and you will be able to post and repost, tweet and retweet, and get the word out about this particular show or any of our past shows. So you can always go back and listen to any of our conversations with any of our previous guests. But this morning, we're so glad to have the opportunity to speak with Miss Lola Lisa DiCarlo King out of the Baltimore, Maryland, or the D.C. area, and we'll be able to hear more about her, her journey, and what she's doing in the industry. And so I just want to welcome her to the line this morning. Good morning, Lola Lisa.
Good morning, Rachel. How are you this morning? Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, awesome. I'm doing great this morning, Lola Lisa, and I'm glad to have you on. First of all, let me just kind of clarify where you're calling in from this morning. Is it Baltimore? Is it D.C.? Is it someplace else? Where are you?
That's really funny. Actually, today I am sitting in Houston, Texas.
Wow, wow. All right, so we got that together. I don't know where I came up with those other cities, but proud to have you on from Houston. Go ahead.
We're all over, Rachel, believe me.
good. All righty, well, let's just jump right in, and listeners, you will be able to join in on the conversation towards the end of the call. So just be, if you're listening from your browser, just be prepared to call in at 714-459-3918. Again, that's 714-459-3918, and just press 1 on your keypad, and we will invite you to join the conversation. So, Lola Lisa, that is a bit of an unusual name. How did you end up with the name Lola Lisa?
Well, Rachel, I was given the name Lola Lisa by my father, Montgomery Wordsworth King. Poet, playwright, author, and above all, a university professor most of his adult life. He was a true scholar and a gentleman, and I'm very thankful for his foresight, because I found that name to be a blessing most of my life. When people say it, those involved in the conversation usually know it's probably me. So my dad gave me the name Lola Lisa.
Okay, well, how did Lola Lisa become interested in architecture?
Well, when I was a small girl, before I even began grade school, the first mail I drove into a 2x4 wood stud was with the help of my dad and a hammer into a residence that my father designed and drew the actual floor plan. And that was the home that we would eventually live in as a family. I don't know if you remember the traditional floor plans or what we call construction documents that had the white lines on the blue paper. Well, that's what my father created many decades ago. And then when I grew a little older, he would take me to various homes under construction of friendly new neighbors, and we would walk through the rooms. And I can distinctly remember being able to dart through the vertical studs before the sheetrock was installed, looking at the headers and the window jams and the roof lines. And what seemed like fun and playtime with my dad was a wonderful way of exposing me to design and architecture. But he did that with whatever he wanted to expose to me, everything from shooting a .22 to catching a bass on a freshwater pond. But it was not until I started looking through the university course catalog that I realized the combination of art and science might just be the curriculum for me. So I started college at 16. I put architecture down as my major, and I just plowed forth, Rachel.
Wow. Well, I definitely remember as a math sciences major studying and being near the architecture majors. And I remember thinking or feeling like it was such a difficult major because of some of the models that they would be building and so on, and how carefully they took care of those things. And so super proud that you got that done and that you've been able to have such a career in the industry. You're of course licensed as an architect. So what did it take for you to become licensed, you know, as an architect?
Ooh. Oh gosh, where do I start? Well, it started with lots of nights staying up in the architectural lab or the architectural studio drawing by hand, okay? So I know I'm dating myself. The architecture curriculum is a bit different from most because our work product is a tangible, touchable item in the form of, say, a drawing or rendering or even a 3D model. I loved my undergraduate education. It was at a HBCU, go Jaguars, because when we graduated, we had a portfolio of design drawings and at least two sets of construction documents, one of wood construction and another of steel construction. So I had a fantastic educational foundation. So then to become licensed, I had to work under an architect for at least 3 years and then sit for a four-day exam. And this exam covered many sections, some of which included structures, construction administration, mechanical, electrical, plumbing information, earthquake design, site analysis, and I cannot forget the 12-hour building design exam where we were given the program at 8 o'clock in the morning and we had to have the complete building design with the floor plans, the elevations, and the building section by 5 o'clock that late afternoon or early evening. And I've been told it's one of the longest professional exams that existed, and it took me a few tries to pass everything, but I did it. So my home license is in North Carolina. And over the years, there's a national council record kept on me in Washington, D.C., and so I've been able to spread my licensure to 7 states, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, and more recently, Colorado and Massachusetts. So that's what it took for me to become a licensed architect. Oh, but Rachel, I have to say that becoming a licensed architect, it's been a treat breaking through the barriers. Because according to, I believe it was the 2010 Statistical Yearbook of the United States Census Bureau, there are 233,000 architects in the United States in the year 2008. And then, according to the Directory of African American Architects that is sponsored by University of Cincinnati, we only have 282 black female architects. That's in the entire country. So if you do the math, Rachel, it's, you know, it's like 0.0012, some crazy percent. So besides loving what I do, I almost feel an obligation, you know, to keep going no matter the obstacles, the stereotypes, or the hurdles. And I'm a part of a determined elite group who typically have to work a little harder just to be recognized and utilized in the architectural profession, as well as, you know, various building science areas of service.
Wow. Well, thank you for what you're doing, because one of the things that we do here with NABLICR, one of our intentions is to definitely get the word out to young women about the industry, you know, high schoolers or young ladies in college, to really look at the opportunity in this industry. And so having people like you that have broken through and proven what can be done and have made such an amazing name for yourself and such a long list of accomplishments, it really is a great story and journey for a young person to look at when they're beginning to put together what's possible for them. So we're definitely super proud of what you're doing and also really glad of what it sets up for young ladies when they're looking at what they want to become. So thank you, Lola Lisa. Well, as I look at your bio, I'm totally blown away all the things that you have done, and I know you've worked in a few areas, but now you've come to own your own business. Tell us a little bit about that and let us know, I mean, have you always wanted to be an owner and lead your own architectural firm?
Oh, yes. I can definitely say that I knew when I interned as a student in college that I wanted to understand the operations and the financial responsibilities of a successful business or a successful firm. So during my last year of architecture school, I was able to get a full fellowship to the University of Wisconsin, and that was in Madison, to obtain an MBA in finance and investment banking. So it was cold and it was very different from what I was exposed to. I was born and reared in the South, and here I was coming from an environment where I was a pretty big fish in a small pond at an HBCU to almost a minnow in a huge pond of 42,000 students. But it was a great experience, and it served as a phenomenal foundation for the work and the responsibilities of operation and ownership that I have today. I've always seen myself as an employer, and Rachel, believe it or not, as far back as, I think it was 1982, I was listed in Ebony Magazine as a future leader along with other HBCU students. So I think that gave me the encouragement to know early on in my career that I wanted to successfully be a business owner and lead a firm through successful service to others.
Wow, well, listeners and Lola Lisa, the lines are filling up, and as you speak, I'm jumping over on Facebook and kind of sharing that we're on and inviting people to go ahead and listen in. And so we do have a few listeners on, and I just want to introduce you again. Welcome, everyone. We are talking with Lola Lisa DiCarlo King this morning, and we are super excited, and we're going to just continue the conversation. But if you want to join the conversation as we continue, just go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. And if you are listening from your browser, dial 714-459-3918 if you'd like to join the conversation. You're listening to NABLICR Talks, and this morning we are in an amazing conversation with Lola Lisa DiCarlo King out of Houston, Texas. Well, Lola Lisa, tell me more about the company. When was the company established, and what did it really take to get you where you are right now with the company?
Oh, Rachel, what a journey. Let's see. I opened the doors as a sole proprietor working out of my home in Greensboro, North Carolina in 1995. And I had an ulterior motive because I was doing the single parent thing and I wanted to be at home by the time my son arrived home from school. By the way, he's 6'4" now. And I thought I could really maneuver that and manage to fulfill what I believed was a purpose in my life and still make sure that that elementary-aged person would have the parental support that he needed. So the other thing that truly helped me get the business off the ground back in 1995 was my being able to serve as an adjunct professor at the local university. Go Aggies, North Carolina A&T. And I absolutely loved teaching. It's in my blood. Both my parents were educators, and one of the areas in which I'm primarily gifted is teaching. So it came naturally, and for those students who dared to take what they call, I think they call me Killer King, but that's another story, they were able to grow and develop and produce a, competitive manner, which I hope, you know, really helped them to lead to their successes that they have today. So that was in 1995, and then by 1998, I had to make a critical choice. Was I going to be an architect who teaches on the side, or was I going to be a teacher who practices on the side? And the company grew so well that I actually taught my last university class in 1998. So the company grew from a sole proprietor to an LLC, and then the economy started to kind of downturn after 2001. I remember being out on a construction site for 9/11 and how we prayed as those events were happening. And we knew that we were going to be okay, and it was all we could do to pretty much hold out and hold on by the time we came up to 2006. Because, you know, when the economy is doing really well, architects are doing well. And when the economy is not doing too well, we have to kind of, you know, strategize a little bit differently. So we amended our business plan and did what we could to survive and thrive. But God is so faithful, because through all of the downturns and throughout 2006, 2007, 2008, we were able to have support of many, many people, and we would not be here today without that encouragement and that support. So today we are a professional corporation. We are recognized as such in four states. That's North Carolina, Texas, Louisiana, and Colorado. And today you see us as Architect for Life. We've been in existence for, I guess, about 17 years now. Is that 16? Do the math there. Whereby our main focus is sustainability.
Okay. So I'm really ready to go in that direction. It's definitely a changing world, which you know, and your growing architectural practice is really growing and being more successful and getting a lot of things done with what's necessary right now. But what makes your architectural practice so different from any other architect for other architectural firms out there? What sets you apart?
Besides being the greatest sustainability strategist that we are, Architect for Life saves our clients money. We have been involved in energy savings as early as 1998, before green was even green. I mean, we designed a 6,500-square-foot custom home off Highway 17 on the St. Johns River in northern Florida, which was able to produce amazingly low electricity bills in July with that typical high temperature, high humidity that Florida has. And when we heard the client brag about how low their electricity bills were, we knew even then in 1998 that we were on to something special. So if we fast forward, more recently, we've been involved in an office building in Katy, Texas, whereby we have tracked a 40% energy savings based on the buildings next door and in the same office complex of similar size. So our client in that effort, Tierra Eco Solutions, is allowing us to seek LEED Gold certification for that facility. And it may be the first building of its kind. It's a rammed earth building in the country to be awarded LEED Gold. At least that's our desire and hope.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever Architects for Life is involved, which sets us apart, particularly after the design team and the general contractors have left and all of our responsibilities are taken care of, the owner of the building or the facilities manager, you know, is just really peachy pleased because they have the lower cost to operate their buildings, especially if we've been able to be involved.
Well, let's do this, Lola Lisa. For the few people who may be on, who may not have this construction background or architectural background or one of the closely related fields, can you take just a quick second and just kind of explain to us what sustainability is, what that really means, so we get a full idea of the impact that what you do is having on today's changing world?
Sure. Well, you hear the word sustainability and green all the time, but we believe Architect for Life has a particular role in this area. So when Architect for Life says sustainability, we have our definition, and it embodies stewardship and attitude. So when we say sustainability, we're talking about showing good stewardship of our resources, such as the air, the land, the water, and the people. Architects for Life basically believes to whom much is given, much is required. So mm-hmm. we have a responsibility to operate efficiently and effectively, you know, with the environment, the resources, the people, and the processes that we have surrounding us each day. And then that latter portion is so very important. It's attitude. It's mm-hmm. sharing, caring. It's how we actually think to promote the best behaviors and actions such that our children and grandchildren will have a livable, walkable, breathable inheritance in which to live, to work, to play with their children. So at Architects for Life, our definition of sustainability is using methods, systems, materials that won't deplete or contaminate mm-hmm. our given resources in a fiscally responsible and profitable manner. Mm. That's what we do.
Wow, and that makes a huge difference. So I guess that, you know, just even based on what you just shared, the testimony of some of your previous clients, It kind of shows that you've been able to show a real tangible difference with the designs you create versus maybe some of your competitors, let's say. And so tell us about some of your projects where you've been able to show this clear, tangible difference and impact that your designs are making on the world versus what the other things that are out there.
Well, Architect for Life recently served as the Energy Efficiency Conservation Block Grant Program Manager. Someone out there may be familiar with EECBG. And that is a program that was set up by the Department of Energy. And, oh, my goodness, we have been doing this as a program manager for Fort Bend County, Texas. And, oh, my goodness, Fort Bend County has been such a marvelous owner to work with. We've coordinated with their facilities departments, their auditing, purchasing, and multiple contractors to make sure that those federal dollars are spent and tracked appropriately. So we were able to manage a $2.8 million grant, and that included oversight and reporting for 5 energy saving activities or projects. So do I have time to quickly, you know, run this down for you? Okay, all right. So we did the project oversight and contractor selection for the installation of 52 different solar systems at various parks and municipal buildings throughout the county. And that was a pretty exciting project because the citizens of the county could actually see the tangible results of where their tax dollars were going, and we've been able to show an enormous savings for that particular project. Then we also did the oversight for chiller replacement and retrofit work at the William B. Travis Administration Building, and we got a chance to work with an outstanding organization called Automated Logic. Then we also did the oversight for another building, George Memorial Library, and that was pretty interesting because that touches so many citizens of the county. We did the oversight for installation of the occupancy sensors, building controls, and also they did a chiller replacement there as well. And we did the oversight for energy audits of 1.2 million square feet of county facilities that included 42 different buildings, and that was pretty exciting. We worked with Lockwood, Andrews, and Noonan on that. The various studies that we did project oversight on were really phenomenal. There's a potential, what they call a CHP plant, or combined heat and power. They're thinking about moving forward with that, which is pretty exciting. And I believe being able to help with the oversight of emergency power generation for their county jail, that was actually pretty interesting. So those are some of the more recent projects that we've been working on that we know have tangible savings for our owners.
Wow. As you go over those things, it's just amazing, especially raising the consciousness so that people are more aware of all the different things that we all could be doing to contribute in this area. But you actually going out and being able to make such a huge impact, it's really impressive, and we're really just glad to have you on. To hear, so that we have the opportunity to hear about these things that you're doing. Now, let us know if your focus, do you mainly focus on electricity, or are there other areas of sustainability that you and your company addresses?
That's the beneficial thing of working with Architect for Life. We focus on so much more than just that one portion, electricity, because we're an architectural firm as our foundation. We really do understand the whole facility. We understand the facility, we understand the equipment, we understand the building envelope, and we understand the day-to-day operations of the owner. Whether it's an agency, a municipality, a corporation, our involvement is more holistic. So in addition to electricity, we have two main specialty areas, and that falls under sustainable environments and sustainable businesses. So under sustainable environments, people call us in to do sustainability plans, asset management, state of good repair, baseline analysis, Energy Star, WaterSense consulting, geothermal, solar, retrofit management, waste management, landfill diversion, that's really important, rammed earth construction, and of course we have our lead consulting, building commissioning, and we can reduce your overall carbon footprint. All of that falls under our sustainable environments. And then under sustainable businesses, because of our business background, we can help you with green procurement, green supply chain, recycling programs, taking your company into the cloud for cloud computing, business platforms. We can really help you understand and develop, or even further develop, your established green operations and policies that you have for your company. So we have 100 ways that you can green your office, and that's actually a publication that's free that's on our website. So, oh yes, and Architect for Life is currently involved in lead consulting for the soon-to-be-built Fort Bend County Senior Center. We are in the midst of contractor selection, and we are leading the effort to get this community service facility LEED certified through the Green Building Certification Institute, which is under the umbrella of the United States Green Building Council. So Architects for Life focuses on more than just electricity. You know, we're your green, consulting, environmentally conscious, green technology expert. We keep up with the latest technology and items that have been vetted that could bring great savings to your organization and, yes, reduce your overall carbon footprint. I mean, can't you just hear the passion. We just love it. And we're good at it.
I mean, Mona Lisa, as I sit here and listen to you, the moment that you said that, can't you just hear the passion, what was going through my mind was this is definitely going to have to be like a part one of this conversation. We have to continue this conversation where we have that opportunity to really dig in to some of the themes that you're talking about. I mean, you're mentioning things that maybe the average everyday person doesn't even realize falls under the umbrella of sustainability and going green, and there's always more than an individual can do to, become more conscious and then just in their own office, their actions, and there's always, I guess just to build the awareness and the consciousness and also have people really understand the major difference it makes in their pocket, but also the difference it makes on their impact, to the environment. The information is really powerful. So I definitely want you to take a moment and talk about how we can contact you, any of our listeners, business owners, people that want to reach out and contact you with questions. I heard you mention your website. So tell us how to reach out to Architects for Life to learn more about becoming more sustainable.
Oh, thanks, Rachel. We are so easy to catch up with because we operate in multiple states. We travel wherever we're needed or asked by our clients. We have a toll-free number. And so that toll-free number is 888-986-7771. That's our toll-free number for Architects for Life, and our normal business hours are 8 to 5, so there's always someone there ready and willing to make sure that your needs are met. And then we also have our website, which is www.architectforlife.com, and that is the name architect with F-O-R, life, L-I-F-E.com. So you can contact us either way, and we'd be so happy to serve you and save you a lot of money, too.
Excellent. Well, I definitely have had an amazing conversation with you this morning. I'm just kind of filled with pride as we go over some of the things that you're up to. And, Lolita, I really feel that the listeners have been robbed of maybe hearing more about your journey, how you came to be where you are right now. So I'm hoping that we will be able to have a future conversation where we can really talk more about, kind of what it takes to get to, where you are and where you've brought your company. And it's amazing how you were kind of ahead of the game, just got in there early and grabbed that niche early, and I'm sure that's really based on the person you are. And so we're really proud and also just really glad to have you on this morning. We have several listeners. I've jumped over on Facebook and made a couple of comments and a few posts. And anyone else who's on Facebook, I always remind you to post and repost, tweet and retweet, comment, email, text, and share, get the word out about what NABWIC is doing, and definitely get the word out about this morning's call with Miss Lola Lisa here. So if you're on the line right now, you want to join in into the conversation, we definitely welcome you. We have a few listeners now that are waiting to join in, and so I want to just jump out there and open the line for Miss Ann McNeil. Welcome to the conversation, Ann.
Thank you so very much. Thank you both. Again, this is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, Building Stronger and Better Lives, and I want to thank Lola Lisa for sharing. And also I want to ask if she would share with us a wonderful program she just completed on behalf of NABWIC regarding the Business Fan Competition. So if you can just share a little bit about that, please. Thank you.
Sure, and I'd be glad to do that. There is another organization that we are in partnership with called 105 Voices. And of that organization, they have a business empowerment platform. And they approached NABWIC to help them facilitate a business plan competition for participants in that program. So they had, I believe it was 10 students from various schools across the country, and yes, these happen to be HBCUs, very talented, astute, aspiring individuals who are extraordinarily gifted in music. However, they also have an entrepreneurial spirit. So NABWIC's goal and NABWIC's objective and our involvement was to stay involved with these students for about 8 weeks, and we were involved on weekly calls with them, helping them develop their business plans. We got them to a point that after a little over 7 weeks, they were able to submit for competition their business plans of various ideas that they had. Oh, it was so amazing. These students are truly gifted. And with the guidance of NABWIC, you have these successful business owners that were able to pour into these students. When we coordinated it, we selected three top winners. I believe they were just announced yesterday, so I'll leave that to 105 Voices to make that public. But these three students will be flown to Charlotte, North Carolina, where they will present their business plans to Wells Fargo. And so to get that kind of exposure is just phenomenal for our youth and our future entrepreneurs. And to say that NABWIC played a key role in this is just so exciting. So that goes to show you that with NABWIC, and one of the reasons that I joined immediately was they are so concerned about the community and their involvement in making this a better world. And so, yes, we're very good at what we do. We're very talented at what we do as people in an organization. But do know that NABWIC has several programs out there, like this one, the 105 Voices Wells Fargo Student Competition, where business plans are being developed by college students. And so that lets us know that we are participating truly in a sustainable environment.
Wow. Thanks, thanks, Lola Lisa. That's an amazing program and sounds like an amazing opportunity for those young people. So, wow. Let's do this. We have another caller calling in, and thank you so much, Ann McNeil, for your contribution and your question. Thanks for that. We have another caller calling in from the Jacksonville, Florida area. Let's welcome Deborah Thompson to the conversation. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, and good morning, Lola Lisa. Thank you so very much for all that you do and your last accomplishment. I'm just glad that I had a small part in it. What I'd like to know, though, is with the energy and the way our country is moving, I was involved with the Jacksonville Urban League housing program, and we did a solar energy program here with a small grant from the state back in the 80s to put solar panels on low and moderate income family homes so that they could lower their electrical and water bills. And that worked very well during that time. And those people kept those panels for about 20 years. Just very interested in the things that you do in the design phase of that. Have you, with your grant program, done anything on existing properties where you were able to help the homeowner, again, lower its bill? We were able also, when I was in Tallahassee with the Florida A&M University, that university had a small grant to help small businesses, again, who own their property, to lower their bills. So can you just kind of speak to the low and moderate income piece as far as lowering their bills?
Well, Deborah, thank you so much for calling in. And again, it was such a blessing working with you on the Wells Fargo student competition. Thanks for all your help on that. To answer your question about the solar and the savings as it relates to housing, I must tell you that our focus at Architect for Life has been more on the commercial, municipal, industrial end, particularly in the last 6 to 8 years. And so I don't have figures handy on the residential. However, I will tell you that we were asked to bring information for a Better Buildings program, which involves the residential market, I think it was last year. And when we did that study and we got involved just a little bit, we were able to see that there was enormous opportunity for helping the low to moderate income families be able to afford their utility bills through weatherization and, if finances allow, the solar. The payback on solar sometimes is not as wonderful as we would like it to be, but you're doing so much for the environment and for the people who are the end user. So we encourage people on the residential level to get involved as much as they can through the grant program. We think that they're great. We know that they're viable. We know that they work. And whatever we can do to assist in making that happen, we are so ready to help and make sure that success occurs in that scenario.
Thank you so very much for your comments. And, again, I'm just very proud to know you and to have had the opportunity to work with you, and hopefully we can do that again.
Wonderful. Thanks, Deborah. Have a sustainable day.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm here. You know, we've been listening to maybe some of the programs and projects that you've done with NABWIC, and I'm wondering, how did you come to connect with NABWIC as an organization?
Well, it goes to show you what's in God's plan truly is in God's plan. I first met Ann McNeil around 2006 in Florida and had a wonderful opportunity to connect. We actually had great discussion, and we had a very positive experience from that encounter. Well, believe it or not, it wasn't until 2012 where I ran into just an amazing entrepreneur and environmental advocate, J.C. Burton of Woodline Solutions. And it was J.C. that told me, oh, you've got to get involved in NABWIC. I've got to introduce you to Ann McNeil. And I just kept thinking, Ann McNeil, I know that name. Well, surely when J.C. introduced me to NABWIC and Ann, I was able to rekindle Ann's memory, and sure enough, our kindred spirits just hit it off. And there's so many projects that NABWIC is involved in across the country and regionally. And there was one that it seemed as though, with everyone's plate being full, is that I just don't know if we're going to be able to do this year. We need someone to take this on, and that was the student business plan competition. And sure enough, Mona Lisa, especially with the university teaching background, I thought, okay, I can do this. We can do this together with the help of everyone involved. And these ladies were just so helpful. All they needed was a coordinator, and I helped coordinate that. And it was just very exciting to get involved, rekindle this wonderful relationship with an amazing woman, Ann McNeil, be a member of NABWIC, and to help lead one of their programs. I mean, it's just been a huge blessing for Architect for Life and for Mona Lisa. So that's how I got involved with NABWIC.
Awesome. Lola Lisa, I just as we begin to wind down, I just kind of want to maybe ask you one last question about Architects for Life. You know, what you guys do, what your firm does, just has such a huge impact on the environment, on the world, and on the future. And so I'm just kind of wondering, where would you like to see the company? How would you like to see the company grow? Or what type of impact would you like to see Architects for Life having, let's say, over the next 5 to 10 years?
home, Rachel? That's a wonderful question. Thank you. We would like to see Architect for Life known as your green technology experts, your specialists, not only for making your environment more sustainable, but making it more financially practical. The things that we do to help our clients go green really do positively affect the bottom line. So for those that maybe aren't what we consider sustainability advocates, but they're really good business people, okay, let's work together, because Architect for Life can show you how you can become more sustainable and make sure that it benefits your facility, your municipality, your corporation, your agency. We've got this thing down, and we want to share it, and we want people to know that we're available to serve.
Wow. Awesome. Well, Lola Lisa, we definitely appreciate you being on this morning. I'd like you to take one quick moment to give the website again, www.architectsforlife.com. Am I right?
Yes, that is right.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and post that next to your bio there on the Blog Talk Radio site, so that as people go back and listen to the show archives, I mean, I'm definitely going to get the word out. We'll send it to you. You can get the word out. And we definitely encourage everyone listening in this morning to post and repost, tweet and retweet, comment, text, email, and share. Get the word out about NABWIC Talks, get the word out about NABWIC, and get the word out about Architects for Life. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to NABWIC Talks. We are NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black women in construction. And this morning, our conversation was with Lola Lisa DiCarlo King. We invite you to come by our website, www.nabwic.org, where you can learn more about our growing national organization. Have an opportunity to join the email list where you can get updates on what's going on in the industry and what's going on with our shows. And also, also have an opportunity to truly consider joining the organization and becoming one of our future guests here on NABWIC Talks, where we intend to help get the word out about each other, to go ahead and encourage partnerships and support as we grow our businesses in today's world. And so we're so glad that you had the opportunity to listen in this morning. We definitely want to thank Ann McNeil for coming in with a question, and also Deborah Thompson. And we want to thank all of our listeners this morning for being a part, for listening in this morning, and also for spreading the word. And so as we wind down, I definitely want to give you, Lola Lisa, an opportunity to maybe say a few closing words or share a few closing thoughts to all of our women in business and our women in construction, and all of our listeners this morning. Just share a few closing thoughts as we close the show.
Well, thank you, Rachel. In closing, I must say thank you. Thank you so very much for this opportunity to share our story. When something is burning inside of you that you know can be a benefit to others and to other businesses, other municipalities, private industry, just to have an opportunity, a format, a venue to share it is just quite exciting. So on behalf of Architect for Life, a professional corporation, on behalf of all the people that have supported us through the years, we just thank you for your support. We thank you for your encouragement. And we certainly thank NABWIC for this venue and for this opportunity to share. Thank you so very much.
And Lola Lisa, what do you say about that part two? I think that your story
is an amazing story. It's definitely an inspiration. And also your level of consciousness and feeling of responsibility, just what makes you you. I would like to maybe have a conversation with you about your personal journey, what got you where you are now. And so what do you say within the next month or two, maybe coming on again and sharing that? I think that's going to have an amazing impact on our listeners. Can you make yourself available?
Oh, yes, Rachel, yes, we will make sure that whenever you call, we will make ourselves available. Thank you so much for that opportunity.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much. Well, listeners, we definitely thank you again for being on this morning. You have listened to NABWIC Talks. We are the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black Women in Construction. Remember to get the word out about this morning's conversation with Lola Lisa DiCarlo King. An amazing show, amazing and very important and very relevant information. So again, post and repost, tweet and retweet, comment, email, text, and share. Spread the word about NABWIC, NABWIC Talks, and Architects for Life, headed up by Lola Lisa DiCarlo King. Ladies and gentlemen, business owners, we definitely encourage you to go out and have a very prosperous and also a very, very peaceful day today. Share a smile with a neighbor. This is Rachel Moore signing off from Miami, Florida. And thank you for being with us this morning, Lola Lisa. Have a great day.
Thanks, Rachel.